I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Howdy ho, neighbors. Get that reference?
No, I have no idea.
You're not that young. Come on.
Every time you do this, you always get stunned that I don't know what you're talking about. But.
You never watched Home Improvement?
Okay, yes. Wilson. I have seen that.
Wilson.
That's been so long.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I have watched that, but I wouldn't have gotten that off of first guess. There's no way.
I have so much useless trivia in my head like that. Okay. I have some useful info in my head, which is why we're doing this podcast, I guess. Welcome in. Brad and Dylan here as coming to you on this Wednesday, as we do every week, unless we don't.
But unless there's a tornado.
This is 2 weeks in a row now, I think. Yeah. So, yeah. Or snow, whatever. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. I'm going to spend the next few minutes talking about high school sports here in Northeast Mississippi. Got a pretty jam-packed show today. We've got some coaching news, a couple of big coaching hires within the past week. Yeah, I got a couple of games to talk about that we covered. Going to look ahead a little bit to what's happening on the diamond later this week. We'll have athletes of the week as well at the end of the show, of course. Before I forget, be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Let's start with the baseball softball rewind. Going to look at a couple of games here on Tuesday. I went to Tupelo Christian. They hosted Baldwin in a Division 2-1A contest. Both teams 4-0 in division coming in, so pretty big game as far as that division race goes. You figure it's going to be one of those teams that ends up winning that division, I would think. I was a little surprised Baldwin did not throw either of its top two pitchers. The Andy Trollinger kid, he did throw like 21 pitches on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Against Walnut, I guess, but so you know he could have started or pitched at some point, but he did not, and so I was a little surprised by that. But he's I think he's supposed to start Thursday when these teams meet again, and so the pitching was not good for Baldwin. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Outside of those two guys, it appears to be a bit of a struggle. In fact, they even put one kid in there who I don't believe has pitched all season before yesterday. So Tupelo Christian took advantage. I mean, they only had six hits, but they didn't need to get a bunch of hits because they got walked 11 times, two hit batters. I mean, they had several bases loaded walks to score runs, including in the second inning when they scored four runs, had a couple of bases loaded walks and a wild pitch. They scored four runs on no hits in the second inning and ended up going on to win 10-0. Run ruled them in six innings. As for the TCPS pitching, it was outstanding. Daniel Redout pitched all six innings, allowed just three hits, no runs, struck out six, didn't walk a single batter. He hit a couple there. I think it was the third inning. He got in a little bit of trouble. He hit a couple of guys, but he stranded those two guys on base at second and third base. So that kid's been on a roll. He's thrown over his last four outings, 17 consecutive scoreless innings.
Yeah, that's pretty good, and that's huge for them because you know, we've talked about it. We talked about TCPS before you left yesterday to go to that game, and they hit the ball extremely well, and they've got a lot of talent, a lot of speed, a lot of defense on that team. And if their deal is if they can find the pitching and pitch it well, they're probably the team to beat in 1A, just by the talent and things that they have on that team. So they, with when you got an ace like that and he's rolling right now, that's a good sign for them moving forward, especially, I guess, three, 4 weeks away from the playoffs starting?
Yeah, and they did play an excellent game defensively, made some nice plays out there. TCPS with a big win over Baldwin, 10-0. Again, they'll face each other again in Baldwin on a Thursday. Softball game on Monday had South Pontotoc and Pontotoc, county rivals, division rivals. And South Pontotoc is our number two ranked softball team, Pontotoc number 10, but I thought it might be a game, but
I did too.
Allison Harrison is hard to hit.
Yeah, she showed. This is the second time I've saw her this year. I saw her in their division opener against Itawamba a few weeks back, and she carried a perfect game into the seventh inning, and and then in this one, Pontotoc only had four hits and struck out 11 times, and all four of their hits were singles. Never put a runner on second base. It was just never in doubt, really.
Yeah.
South, was able to come out 12-0 win in six innings. that was against Itawamba a few weeks ago. They didn't hit the ball particularly well. South didn't. And so I didn't really know what to expect, you know, with them with Pontotoc, because Pontotoc's got a pretty decent pitcher too, and Kenzie Kaysen. And but you know, they were able to pound out a few hits. They had 11 hits on the night, and kind of, but a lot of it was with a small ball. They were Pontotoc had an injury early in the game. I believe it was I forgot her name. But they're starting third baseman. It's anyway, she's like an eighth grader, and she jammed her finger on her glove hand.
Yeah.
And so they ended up moving Sadie Stegall from first base to third base, and had to bring a girl off the bench into first. And
right.
And it kind of put their corner infield spots in a jam. And South Pontotoc took advantage of it. They started laying down a ton of bunts. They had 8 bunt attempts in the 5th and 6th inning combined.
They're very good at doing that.
Yeah, and so they took advantage of it, and Pontotoc made a few errors and things, and they just kind of did, you know, played the small ball game, and it worked. I mean, they had, what, 6 runs in the 6th inning to end up run rolling them there. And Sakura Weeks, she's probably a forgotten player on that team. She bats in the 5 hole, but she's a Holmes County Community College commit or signee, and she can hit.
She had
a 2 RBI double to start in the first inning, and then she laid down 2 different bunts in the 5th and 6th inning, pick up another couple RBIs, had 4 RBIs on the game.
And she plays shortstop now. She used to play outfield.
Yeah, and she does a really good job there at shortstop, and with Harrison pitching and Rebecca Pilcher, who hit a solo bomb to start the 3rd inning.
Yeah.
That was kind of maybe the highlight, the biggest hit of the night, that was kind of out in the outfield, you know.
Right.
Everything else was like little bunts down in the infield. So South Pontotoc's really strong at the middle, and they're undefeated in division. And that division that's loaded is tough. We've talked about it before. Pontotoc, Itawamba, Morville. To be undefeated in that division right now, you've got to be a really solid ball club, and they are.
That score's 12-0, right?
Yeah, it was 12-0.
Yeah, and South Pontotoc still has yet to face Morville because those games get rained out.
Last week,
they'll face Pontotoc again. Is it Thursday or Friday? It's one of those.
I believe they were shooting for Thursday, but who knows?
Okay. Looking ahead, real quick, to a couple of games coming up on Thursday. Baseball, Morville at South Pontotoc, a big division game there. These teams met Tuesday. Morville won 6-1. Judd Files had quite a game. Complete game, 5 hits, only 1 run given up. He struck out 14.
He's good.
In 7 innings. Yeah, he is. Yeah. 1 walk. So he won't pitch the next one on Thursday.
They get J.W. Armistead. So.
Yeah, he's not bad either.
Yeah, Morville's got a powerful 1-2 punch. South, you know, started this year 11-0, and they're now 12-4 after entering division play. Another good division.
Yeah, it really
you
is.
You know, in Division 2 4A baseball is another good baseball division. So they're 1-2 in division right now, but you don't start 11-0 by chance. You know?
No.
So maybe they can sneak one out here because they kind of need it in this division. So.
Certainly. Also Thursday, softball, Saltillo hosting Center Hill in a Division 1-5A game. Saltillo off to a pretty good start, 10-5, ranked number 4 by the Journal. Center Hill is 5-7, but I don't think they're going to be a cakewalk. I looked at their schedule. I mean, they've played a pretty decent schedule, had some close losses, so we'll see. I plan to be at that game, be my first chance to – see Saltillo's softball team in action. Okay, let's get to some of those coaching moves we teased you about a while ago. Football. Amory has a new head coach. Of course, Alan Glenn left back in February, and he has been replaced by a guy with a familiar name, Brooks Dampier, son of Charlie, brother of Baylor, older brother of Baylor. And, of course, Charlie has coached a long time around here. He's currently an assistant at Kossuth. He was a head coach there at one time. That's where Brooks played there, and at Mendenhall. Baylor played at Saltillo when Charlie was coaching there.
Charlie's still at Kossuth, right?
He's still assistant coach there. Of course, Baylor is now is the head coach at Houston, just completed his first season down there. So, yeah, Brooks Dampier. Now, you know, he's been in Alabama for like the last 12 years. Yeah. He was at St. Clair County the last 2 years. He was also at Pell City for 3 years as a head coach. He's been an assistant coach several years amongst those head coaching jobs. Only went 1-19, I think it was, at St. Clair County. And, you know, in talking to him, you know, they got all the way to the state semifinals his first year there as an assistant, which I think was 2017. And then they graduated like 24 seniors off that squad, and they've been trying to rebuild ever since. But he said everybody still stayed on board, the coaching staff and the players. And so, you know, circumstances can sometimes there's only so much you can do.
Right.
I mean, if you don't have the experience and all the talent that you need, and you know, it's not like historically that's been a really strong program.
Yeah.
So you know,
great players make great coaches. So,
right.
You know, it works both ways. I mean, I've seen good coaches elevate the play of their players, and I've seen really good players elevate their coach. You know what I mean? Just when you get to coach a lot of talent, it helps.
Exactly. and you have plenty of talent at Amory.
Certainly. That's Charleston French. He walks in day one with that as his running back. That's a good start.
Yeah, certainly. He's got to find a quarterback. Of course, Hunter Jones was a four-year starter.
And Jay Hampton, Braxton Griffin. He loses some weapons, but I would expect, and knowing their kind of family history and their tree and how I've seen Houston operate this past year and stuff, he might lean on that French kid.
I think he might.
You know, as a run game, I think that's something that he'll bring there to Amory. So.
Yeah, certainly. And then big basketball coaching news just Tuesday night. We learned that Adam Kirk, Ripley boys head basketball coach, is now going to be the head coach at Corinth. We'd been hearing kind of this buzz for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I ran into Adam in a softball game a couple of weeks ago and asked him about it. And he was just like, would not say a thing.
Yeah.
He's like, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. And so we found out last night that he replaces Keith Green, who just retired recently. And that is just a slam dunk hire.
That's as good as you can do if you're Corinth.
It is. I mean, Adam is not only a great coach, and he is.
Yeah.
He's just a great dude. I've known him for a good while. I've known his wife and her parents for a long time.
Yeah.
Comes from good stock. He's, of course, his brother is Andy, the longtime softball coach over at ICC.
Really good.
He's also a really good coach. So yeah, they both know how to coach. And Corinth, they lose some guys, but this is a team that every year just seems to be there at the end of the season, competing in the playoffs, and never an easy out.
Yeah, he mentioned it conversation last night I had with him. Just the tradition at Corinth. He said it's in their DNA to be competitive, to play hard for 32 minutes and get after it. And he's an Ingemar native, and so, you know, basketball's king to him.
Of course he is. They're all Ingemar natives.
Exactly. They all are. We can say about every boys and girls basketball coach in the area. It's in his DNA and his blood, too, and he's a winner. Won almost 150 games there in 6 years at Ripley, led Ripley to the semifinals twice. Ripley's a good program too, but they've never been to the semifinals like that.
Yeah,
and he did that twice in six years there.
Yeah, that's a pretty good job
with Corinth and New Albany and teams like that in that division with them. So, and Corinth has a state runner up finish in that time period and all that stuff. So he's done exploits there at Ripley, and I will not be shocked by any amount of success that he has at Corinth, because he's successful wherever he goes.
And that Ripley job will be.
Sought after. They're in good hands. They got talent coming back too. He's left it in good hands. So.
Yeah, definitely. Let's mention real quick. We had the all area soccer team came out on Sunday in the journal. You also find it at djournal.com. Players of the year were Grace Freeman of Oxford and Bryn Camp of Amory. Coaches of the year, Melinda Scruggs at Lafayette and Joe Hunsucker at Ripley, and included his assistant,
Martin Morphin,
who Joe, I guess, says kind of really is the brains behind it, right?
Yeah. He's not shy about that. He'll let you know, hey, that Martin does a really good job, and I've seen it several times where in matches this year that Martin would look over at the bench and say, hey, so-and-so, get out there.
Mm-hmm.
Go get so-and-so. And, like, Coach Hunsucker just looks, and he's like, all right, sounds good. Like, so you don't normally see that a lot, but that is kind of the relationship there between the coaching staff there at Ripley. So.
Well, hey, it worked. They had a great season.
Absolutely.
I mentioned Freeman of Oxford. She's just a junior, had 30 goals in 12 games. Daughter, of course, of Brad Freeman, who played played a little college ball back in the day at MSU. And her grandfather, Steve Freeman, he and Brad are both NFL officials, although apparently Steve just retired, but he did it for a long time. And Brad was he was the back judge for the Super Bowl this year, something like that. Yeah, so, she comes from good stock as well.
Yeah,
and
Ole Miss commit, right?
Yes, she is. She's kind of taken over where Morgan O'Connor left off there at Oxford. Bryn Camp at Amory, of course, he did the story on him.
Yeah, his is a little similar too. He had 27 goals and 6 assists. And Freeman was playing club soccer, was the reason why she wasn't at some of the matches. Well, Bryn was kicking for the football team as they were making a long postseason run there at Amory. And
right.
And he comes back, misses the first 3 weeks of the season as Amory made it to like the third round, I believe. And he misses the first 3 weeks of the season and comes out there and immediately picks back up and scored a goal in every match he was in. So
wow,
he's a weapon out there and certainly deserving of this.
Well, congrats to all the selections for all area soccer. Let's do a shout out. This week it goes to a trio of Oxford sprinters, Cedric Burrell, Jalen Webb, and Dane Harmon. These guys finished 1, 2, 3 in the 100-meter dash finals at the Oxford Invitational on Saturday. Burrell won with a time of 11.41 seconds, Webb 11.42, Harmon 11.48. So three guys within 0.07 of a second. That's, I mean, like I said, photo finish, I guess. I guess they had a really good timing system. Thank God.
Actually, if I'm Jalen Webb, I'm asking him to go back and look at it again.
And I'll have a little something on the Oxford guys in the prep notebook on Thursday. Athletes of the week, to wrap it up, let's do this. Female athlete of the week, Karis Goodwin, a pitcher and first baseman for Corinth. My goodness, her last two games, man. I got something on her in the notebook tomorrow, too. She went 5 for 5 with 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, a couple of runs scored. Had a game-tying home run in the 7th inning, game-winning walk-off home run in the 9th inning of an 8-7 win over North Pontotoc. 2-run home run. They were trailing, and she walked it off 5 for 5. And also she pitches, and in that game she allowed 4 runs on 5 hits, 4 earned runs, I believe. Anyway, 6 strikeouts, a walk, and 8 1/3 innings pitched. Then on Tuesday against New Albany, she was 3 for 3, 3 doubles. 3 RBIs, 2 runs scored, and a 13-3 win over New Albany.
That's a lot of threes.
Yeah, it's a lot of threes, a lot of triples. And she allowed 3 runs on 6 hits in 5 innings, struck out 6, walked none. So she's a junior.
That's a very good week.
That's very good. Male athlete of the week, Chris Smith. We had something on him in the paper earlier this week. A pitcher and shortstop for Hickory Flats baseball team. Yeah, against Myrtle on Friday, he pitched 7 innings, struck out 21 batters. Do the math. He basically
7 times 3.
Yes. he actually was one guy who did not strike out.
In the third inning, yeah.
But there was a dropped third strike. That guy reached. And then somebody who didn't reach 5 strikeouts.
Yeah, it was a third inning. Third inning, Myrtle had one of their 2 hits.
Uh-huh.
Got kicked out on base, and they tried to steal, and the catcher threw him out.
Right.
So there was the one out that wasn't recorded by strikeout. And then in the 6th inning, he struck out the first batter, struck out the first 2 batters, and then struck out the 3rd batter, but dropped 3rd strike. He got on, and then he struck out the 4th batter of the inning. So that's how he ended it back up at 21 strikeouts. So
right.
Either way, really impressive.
Yeah, like you said, gave up just 2 hits, no runs, walked 2 in 7 innings, and at the plate was 1 for 2 with a couple of walks and an RBI as Hickory Flat beat Myrtle 8-0. And yeah, you did that story on him. He is when he's on the mound, I mean, Hickory Flat can play with anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's their leadoff hitter. That's something we don't even mention about him because you just think about his arm. But leadoff hitter batting .621, I believe, on the season, and 4 home runs, 20 RBIs from the leadoff spot there. So he's an all around threat. So.
He is. Okay, that's all the time we've got for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We come to you every Wednesday. Find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Dylan's on there at Dylan Barnes DJ. We will see y'all next week, neighbors.